Amen. Well, I want to ask you to take your Bible and turn with me, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Folks, we have finally arrived. This is the destination from where we started toward this destination about 20 months ago to make a journey through the book of Romans. And this evening, about 7 o'clock, for those of you that come back tonight, we're going to come to the conclusion of the book of Romans. It has been a blessing to me. I have learned much, as we always do when we spend time in God's Word. But I love the book of Romans, and over the many years of preaching, I think this is the third time that I have passed all the way through the book of Romans, so it's been a blessing to me. And this morning, I want us to read all 27 verses in this last chapter of Romans. Now, it's not the easiest chapter to preach, and here's the reason. There are 35 names in the last chapter of Romans, and some of them are nigh on to impossible to pronounce. So we're going to make them up as we go. But you know, I've always thought, even if you're reading through the Bible and you come to 1 Chronicles, for instance, and then you hit this long list of names in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, and you kind of like, if you're reading through the Bible, well, this is my opportunity to get ahead a little bit. So you kind of fancy read them. That was what we called it in college. You fancy read it. You turned the pages. It may not have been that you absorbed everything, but I want to tell you that if you were important enough to be mentioned on the pages of God's holy word, then that's pretty important. If your name is written down in Scripture, then that's pretty important. So I think it's very important this morning that we look at all of these names. I actually want to begin the last verse of Romans chapter 15, which says, "Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen." Now some would say that should be pronounced amen. How many of you vote for amen? Okay, so how many of you vote for amen? And if we were in Romania or if we were in Israel, that would be pronounced amen. Amen. You preach in Romania, it is amen. And I think that's probably the proper pronunciation of it. So neither the amens or the amens are exactly right. I grew up in a church that didn't do a lot of amening. Now, it wasn't that they were, you would say, well, if they didn't amen, they were dead. No, they weren't necessarily dead. But occasionally we'd sing this little chorus, "The Lord is in His holy temple, let all the earth be silent." And that church had no problem practicing that, just being silent. Until the day, we used to have, right before the preacher would get up to preach, after they'd received the offering, we had quiet music. They called it quiet music. It would be a piano and an organist. How many of you remember we used to have organs? Okay. So, and I'm not talking about some years that have been taken out. I'm talking about there used to be organs in the church house. And so they had finished, they were playing the organ, and had just finished during this quiet music. And my little brother found a cap pistol in my mom's purse. And it had been made from one grandmother to my mother, and my brother had left it at this grandmother's house because he was playing with her grandson. And when he had taken it, left it there, there were no caps in it, but this little boy had put caps in it. And unbeknownst to anybody, mom and grandma had made the exchange. The cap pistol was in the purse. My brother found it during the quiet music and pulled the trigger. And Wade had loaded the cap pistol. And we had a guest preacher that day who got up and said, "If you're shooting at me, I surrender." Now, today, that would set off all kind of alarms in this building and all of that. My dad said that he thought, in our very, very quiet church that was not a dead church by any means, my dad said he thought, what crazy parent has let their crazy kid bring a cap pistol to church? And he turned around, and there sat JR with a smoke curling up past his head. Amen is a part of the language of Zion. Amen, a part of the Amen, is a part of the language of Zion. We have our own little kind of secret words. We may even pray a prayer that we haven't paid attention to what we prayed. I'm talking about when you sit down to eat at the table, or maybe when you lay down to pray with your kids at night, you're not paying a whole lot of attention, but you always wind it up with, "In Jesus' name, amen." Well, the word amen, the word amen, means "let it be so." May it be so. And so I like to hear an amen, I like to hear an amen, but there are times when the intensity of the Holy Spirit is so strong among us that nothing is entirely appropriate. Just quiet. Just know the presence of the Lord. And you think in your heart, if not saying with your lips, let it be so. So Paul says in Romans 15:33, now the God of peace be with you all. Let it be so. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Centuria, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatever business she has need of, for she has been a great supporter of many and of myself also. Greet Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid their necks down on the line. They put their life at risk for me, he says. And he said this, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also the churches of the Gentiles. Greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ Jesus, in Christ before me. They became believers before him. He said, greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ. And Stachys, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus's household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who, they may have been twins. I don't know. Sounds like it. Who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asrincritus and Phlegion. And I don't have to worry about any English teachers correcting me this morning because you can't read it either. Hermas, Patrobas, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia, Nereus and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ, so that you say, well, brother mine, why have you just read all those names? Folks, they're in Romans, and they are worthy of being read. And so 2,000 years after Paul said, I think about this person, and I think about this person, I think about this person, and how some of them have opened their home to me, and some of them have opened their purse strings to me, and some of them have laid their life down for me, and now I'm looking today, I want to go to Rome, and I want to see them. And it's important. They are important. This is the foundation of the New Testament church, and they were important. And then he goes on in verse 17 and says, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are much that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by good words and fair speech they deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timothy, my work fellow, Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsman, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, he was writing what Paul told him to write. Paul had some kind of an eye problem in all likelihood at this point. And so he said, I salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. Quartus, a brother, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. He's got to get these amens out of his system. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all his nations, for the obedience of faith, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Now, Paul is the preacher that when it came time to quit, he didn't know how to do it. You ever heard a preacher like that? You ever known a preacher like that? And I've sat, now I'm not talking about myself, but I've sat and listened to preachers through the years, a lot of preachers, and I thought, you miss a lot of good chances to quit along the way. And I've listened to politicians, and I've come to the conclusion they're worse than we are. They miss a lot of good opportunities to quit along the way. But as Paul is bringing all this to the end, I think he's got a message for us here at Concord this morning, and that message centers around four different things. I want to put these four things before you today for your consideration. I think when he writes down all of these names, what Paul would say to us is simply this: be thankful. Be thankful. He begins with talking about Phoebe, and he talks about Priscilla and Aquila. He talks about 35 different people that you say don't mean anything to us. We don't know if they ever wrote a Bible. We are a book in the Bible. We don't know that they ever preached a sermon. I would have to think that probably many of them did work in the nursery and in Sunday school classes, and some of them may have even served on the security team. Be thankful. When I read this long list of names, it makes me think of people that I am thankful for, especially as we had all of these folks lined up here this morning. And I think most teachers would say the reason I'm teaching today is because of another teacher who inspired in my heart a desire to teach. And names come to mind. You reflect on somebody who touched your life somewhere along the way. And I have to think, looking back at all the teachers that I've had, and there have been a bunch of them who tried to teach me, those who were not good teachers just don't even come to mind anymore. But Miss Margaret R. Smith comes to mind, who taught me in the first and second, third, fourth, and sixth grade. I remember Miss Margaret quite well. Mr. Doug Ball, still living. You think, how could anybody still be living at that age? But Mr. Doug Ball, who was my science teacher, obviously didn't do a very good job teaching me any chemistry, but he was a man who loved the Lord and loved his students, and so he taught all the way through and retired. Miss Nancy Shuck. Miss Nancy Shuck was our senior sponsor. She was a typing teacher. We called it a typing teacher in those days. I don't know what they call it today, whether it's keyboarding or whatever it might be, but she was a typing teacher. She was also a Latin teacher, and she had the notoriety of being the second toughest teacher in the whole school system, and I never took Mrs. Shuck. I avoided her. I took shop class, and as a result, that seemed like the right thing to do. Well, let me tell you something. I didn't learn anything about shop. I had a good time, but I didn't learn anything, and I didn't learn anything about typing. I do not know how to type to this day. Every message you ever get from me is a one-finger deal. It's true. And I didn't want to take Miss Shuck for Latin because I thought, what in the world would that ever do anybody any good? And then so one day I'm sitting in the seminary class and thinking, man, I wish I'd taken Latin. Maybe even somebody other than Mrs. Shuck, but I wish I had taken Latin. When I go to Romania and it's a Latin-based language, I think, man, I could have gotten this a whole lot easier if I'd have just taken Mrs. Shuck's Latin class. I said she's the second toughest teacher in our school system, the toughest teacher having to be my mother. I think about Mr. Ralph Edwards, who's gone to be with the Lord, I think, now, but Mr. Edwards was a great teacher, inspired my life and gave me a desire to know history and find the importance in that. So I look at these people and I say thank you. I think about, and I want to say thank you. They came to hear me preach later in life, and I want to say thank you to them. I want to be thankful to the Sunday school teachers that poured their lives into me. I think about that group of junior boys that were just such a bunch of knuckleheads that about half of that class went into the ministry. And Mr. K. Collins, World War II veteran, Mr. Pee Wee Glacken, I don't know what his real name was, Pee Wee Glacken, Mr. Junior Banta, all of them poured their lives into us. The reason I named three names there is because they all just kept quitting. They'd come to that class for a little while. That's enough of this bunch. We go off to Germany and fight the Germans, but we can't handle a bunch of junior boys. And it was a tough bunch. But I say thank you. I say thank you to pastors that touched my life, like Brother Robert Morris, Brother Everett Walters, and Brother Johnny Jervis, who as a kid took time for me. They had time for me. And I could give you a list of names as well. I think about kids that I went to school with that impacted my life and still are friends to this day, and some of them may even be listening to this sermon this morning. So, Cindy, I'll give you a shout-out right now in case you're listening. I say thank you to them because in that little group that graduated in class in 1971, there were many of them that blessed my life. For everyone who has touched my life, I am thankful, and Paul was too. He talked about Phoebe and her generosity, and Aquila and Priscilla, and how they hazarded their life for his sake, and Andronicus and Junia, who were fellow prisoners. That's where Paul spent time when he went into a city. He talked about Rufus. Well, how about Rufus? What a name, Rufus. And yet it's believed by most Bible scholars that this man named Rufus was the son of Simon of Cyrene, who carried the cross for Jesus down the Via Dolorosa. He was there when Christ was crucified. Thank God for all of these. And I could have a long list of people who have helped me along the way and church members who have helped me along the way. And I even thought back about Memorial Day this year. When I was getting ready to preach a Memorial Day sermon, I thought about all the people at Concord who have touched my life. And I thought I ought to just go through reading the names of people that have gone on to be with the Lord, that have touched us, touched all of us, touched the fabric of this church. But you know, folks, that would be a very dangerous thing to do, because I'd leave somebody out. And I would never get off the bad list. Just to say thank you is a good thing. Let me ask you, who would you put on the list? Who is that Phoebe in your life that has ministered to you? Who's that Aquila and Priscilla who laid their life on the line for you? Who is that Andronicus and Julia who spent time in prison with you? Who are those teachers that you would like to thank? Who are those Sunday school workers that you'd like to thank? Who are those that have cared for your children that you would like to thank? Who of those who've discipled you that you would like to thank? You know, the idea of sending out a thank you is almost a forgotten thing in our day. And I really think Paul's looking to go to Rome. It's kind of like I've been asked to preach homecoming at Beaver Lick. That's the church that we were married in, and my dad pastored for so many years, and I've been asked to preach homecoming there at the end of September and preach a short revival there, and I'm thinking already of people that I haven't seen for years, but I will see that week, and they mean something special to me. And all of us in our walk with the Lord, there's somebody that is special to us. Be thankful. And then be helpful. Be helpful. It's not just that Paul is saying, I'm thankful for all these people, but I think that Paul realized he was standing on the shoulders of someone who had been there to help him along the way, and there's no way you can think about being thankful for people that have helped you, but what you begin to be thinking about ways that you can be helpful to somebody else. I mean, if all you've done is taken from people all of your life, you're just like the Dead Sea. The preacher I know preached a sermon on who killed the Dead Sea. Well, the Dead Sea is dead because it always has water pouring into it, but there's never any water that goes out of it. So everything that comes in and all the mineral deposits and everything else, they stay right there and the sun bakes it and nothing can live in it. So if you're one of those people that's just always receiving and never giving and life is flowing into you but it's never flowing out of you, I want to remind you of something this morning. Not only should you be thankful, you ought to be helpful. Now I think every one of us ought to always be looking for that person around us that stands in need of a disciple, stands in need of an encouragement, stands in need of someone. And I think when I look at this passage of Scripture and when he says, salute one another with a holy kiss, you say, that ain't happening. We're not going to do that. We're not into that. Yet you go to the Middle East and you'll see a kiss on this cheek, a kiss on this cheek. I shouldn't slap the microphone. There was a love and affection, a devotion to one another. And the idea, of course, was that not only are you thankful, you're also helpful. Because coming behind you is always someone that you're praying to God will be able to step into your place. And we know that here at Concord. I mean, if you're teaching a Sunday school class, you ought to be cultivating somebody to teach your Sunday school class. And when they get to the point that they're ready to teach that Sunday school class, then you give your class away. Let them take it and run with it. You go start another class. There's always the opportunity to disciple someone. And when I was a kid growing up, we had a bird dog. My dad was a bird hunter. We had a bird dog named Old Jody. I don't know how old Jody was, but he started being called Old Jody when he was a pup, I think. And all along the way, he was a great bird dog. He's a pointer. And I saw this dog point live birds while he had a dead bird in his mouth, even the process of retrieving. He was a great dog, but there's one thing that Old Jody didn't like. He didn't like pups. He didn't like young dogs. He was an old dog that didn't like young dogs. And so Dad would get a new bird dog pup, and we were out in the country, so the dogs would be running loose a lot of times. But if a young pup was turned out with Old Jody, then there's a strong possibility the young pup would not come back, just disappear. So Dad had bought a dog one time, a pup, and that dog didn't come back. Jody had been out, the pup had been out, the pup didn't come back, and so there was a railroad track maybe 2 miles from our house as crow flies, and so Dad walked to that, just looking for that dog, and he found the pup laying dead on the railroad track. And he said, "I know what happened." This is his version of it. Old Jody took that pup to the railroad track and said, "You stand right here, and you watch. You're going to see something like you'll never imagine, like you'll never see again. There's going to be a bright light. There's going to be a lot of noise, and you stay right here. I guarantee you, you'll never see anything like this again." And then Old Jody just stepped off and watched the train run over the dog. Now, I don't know that Old Jody told that dog to do that. I don't know that. But let me tell you, folks, don't ever stand anybody in the middle of the railroad track and let them be run over. That's not what we want. We want to be helpful. It's not just be thankful, but it's also be helpful. I don't think Old Jody ever repented, but it's be thankful. It's be helpful. It's be careful. Just be careful. Look at what the Bible says in verse 17. "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." He says, be careful. Be careful of those who come to you with false doctrine. That's a word that Paul also often used in warning the church. In Acts chapter 20, when he was saying goodbye to the folks at Ephesus, he made the statement to them. He said, "After my parting, there will come in grievous wolves." You need to be careful. There may be enough truth in what they say to attract your attention. There may even be some truth in what they say, and yet at the same time, they take it further than God's word takes it. And they go off into false doctrine. There was a man named Jim Jones, not the superintendent. This is a different one. And one day, Jim Jones moved a whole bunch of people to Guyana. You remember this. Some of you remember it. Some of you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. But he took a large group of people, his disciples. They moved to South America. And then as the U.S. government began to investigate some of the things that had gone on there, and they began to close in on them, one day they mixed a bunch of poison in with Kool-Aid, and now we have a regular part of our vocabulary is, "Don't drink the Kool-Aid." Well, where'd that come from? It came from a man who taught just enough truth, and he duped people, he deceived people to the point that their spiritual life, and in fact their physical life, was destroyed. They should have been more careful. So someone comes, they teach something, and you say, "Well, it sounds pretty good," but then the longer you listen to it, the more you begin to be skeptical about what is being said. And God's word simply says here, what do? You avoid them. You avoid them. You don't listen to them. It could be on radio today. It could be on television. There are a number of programs out there that I would say, avoid them. Don't listen to them. There are teachers that rise up and they say, people say, oh, but they're so interesting and they're so good. Yet it doesn't do your soul any good. Avoid them. Don't listen to them. Be careful of those who are trying to gain advantage, he said in verse 18. There are always those who will be described this way, that they that are such, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They serve their own self-interest is what they serve. There are always those that are simple and have simple understanding and simple minds, so that they will follow after those who have good words and fair speeches. Avoid them, because the church of Rome was a good church. They had a reputation that needed to, and they needed to protect it. This group of people I'm talking about. They were in Rome, and everybody had heard of them because they were at the center of the empire. They could expect both the good and the evil. Ultimately, they had to trust God, who would bruise Satan under their feet. And that is a tremendous statement. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So here's this. Be thankful, be helpful, be careful, but then be faithful. Be faithful. Many have excuses for not being faithful, but may you not be one of those. Verse 25 says, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures and of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. He is saying this, let the word of God, let the grace of God, let the message of God's word make you strong. According to the gospel message, be established. According to the gospel mystery, we don't always understand everything, but according to the gospel mystery, be established. According to the gospel mandate, taking the gospel to the ends of the earth, be established. And so now, as in always, is time for gospel obedience, the obedience of faith. Be faithful. And Paul writes these words, he finishes each one with, amen. Chapter 15, verse 33. Now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Verse 20, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 24, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Verse 27, to God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Amen. So be it. Now, this morning, I want to give a very unique invitation in closing. I could just ask you to say amen. I guess I could just say amen and say, let it be so. We have gone all the way through the book of Romans, going to conclude things tonight. And I think it'd be good to say amen. Just say amen, because it is the word of God. It means a lot. But I'm wondering, who in this building has been helpful to you, and you're thankful? Someone that you're very much thankful for, because they have ministered to you, they poured their life into you, they may have taught your Sunday school class, hey, they may have taught you in school, they might have been your teacher over the years. Miss Judy Henshaw is in the hospital and not doing real well, and I think about how many students she taught through the years. So these people have poured, they might have been a friend, they might have been an encourager, somebody that's just walked beside you, they may have discipled you at some point through the years. They may have served your children in Sunday school, in the nursery. They have just blessed your life. And so often we come to the end of the service, we say the service is over, we're all going out that way, but it wouldn't hurt us this morning to take a step across the aisle or across the entire building and just go to someone and say, thank you. You have made an impact on my life. Certainly, if your Sunday school teacher is in this building, you ought to tell them, because they've made an impact on your life. And if you won't do it this morning, then it means that you ought to at least sit down and write them a note or send them a, a thank you somehow or other, to just say thank you because you've made a difference in my life. That's what Paul did in Romans chapter 16. And that's what we need to do with one another to encourage someone along the way. So I want to ask you to bow your head with me this morning and stand. And Janice is going to begin to play, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea, But That Thy Blood Was Shed For Me, O Lamb of God, I Come, I Come." And I want to encourage you this morning to step out of your seat. And you may not have to walk far. You may be able to just turn to that person that's right beside you and say, "I thank you, I appreciate you." That'd be a good thing to do as we conclude Romans this morning. Just to say, among that list of 35, had you been alive back then, your name may have been on that list. But just to go to somebody and say, "Thank you." This is not a time for being shy or bashful. This is a time for being appreciative. And so as Janice plays this wonderful old hymn, "Just As I Am," I want to encourage you to just move right now. And even if you can't get back in your own seat afterwards, it won't matter. We're going out of here in just a moment. Just to go to somebody and say, "Thank you." Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us, your love for us. I thank you for people in this congregation that have served so faithfully. We're not in Rome, but we're right here in this country, right in this place today, and you've called us to serve you. May we be faithful. And Lord, we thank you for people that are faithful. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.